You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. I am your friend. I'm your bud. And I'm here to tell you, you're awesome. So thank you so much for sticking around here in the second hour. We are very, very excited to have you here with us today on a wonderful Monday. First show out the gate without the lovely Jane Matinair, but she is here in spirit. She is probably listening right now. And we just give all of our love and support to Jane. We miss her very much already on her first day gone. But we have a great, great second hour for you today. We are going to be speaking to another owner of a toy store here, a toy store in Wisconsin, Collect and Gather. Actually, a thrift store. My apologies. Art and Thrift Store, Collect and Gather. They are based out of Plover, and they're going to be joining us later on the hour. If you want to talk more about us with toys, because we got a great holiday season coming up, and it's about keeping the dollars in the community is really, really important. But before we get any further, if you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Or you can get us in touch with us on Facebook, YouTube, the place we used to call Twitter. We still call it here in this house. We're going to move on to our next guest. Our next guest is the marketing and media liaison for the Volunteer Power Donor Power Organization, MKE Grocery Buddy. Katie Goodwin is here today. Katie, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time. And how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you also, Greg? We call it Twitter in my house as well, so I understand that very well.
Yeah,
doing great. Just getting ready for the holiday season.
I'm telling myself to get ready. I'm saying to myself, today is a day where you start shopping. And I'm like, that's right. And then later on tonight, I'll be like, that's right. I should have started shopping today. But okay. But yeah, that's for another conversation. We're here, though, today to talk about MKE Grocery Buddy, which when I heard about this, it's absolutely amazing. Born out of a necessity to serve the community. Can you tell us more about what MKE Grocery Buddy does for folks in Milwaukee?
Sure. So you mentioned a little bit of our backstory, so I'll just touch on that very briefly because I feel like it's very important.
Yeah.
Meg Sargent, our founder, works in urban agriculture in community gardens. So she's always been focused on food insecurity and food systems within Wisconsin. And the SNAP funding was frozen. She just sent out a general social media post that said, hey, I'm going to drop two links. One is if you are experiencing a lapse in food security because of this funding freeze, please fill this out. And the other one was, hey, if you're feeling passionate about helping people who might be affected by this and want to support financially or otherwise, fill out this link. So it initially started as a small grassroots pairing people in need with buddies who are willing to support them. And within 24 hours, her simple Instagram message got over 200 requests.
Oh my goodness.
And it's kind of evolved into where we are today. We like to say it's very much building the plane while flying it. It started that day. I messaged her on social media. We went to high school together and I was like, oh, if you need any help. And then all of a sudden we're like, we're building spreadsheets, we're organizing, we're coordinating. It's been really amazing to see, but we also have full-time jobs and stuff too. So it's definitely been an interesting learning curve, but it's been incredibly fulfilling and sustaining to see how this happens in our communities.
Now tell us what MKE Grocery Buddy does. Someone wants to go and they want to sign up. What are they going to do when they get to the website? Why are they going to that website?
Sounds good. Thank you, Greg. I did realize afterwards I didn't fully answer your first question.
No worries.
This is baby's first radio interview. So
there you go.
I ask for some grace from the audience. But
hey, it's my first show as the host. So we're going in this together.
We're holding hands virtually.
Go.
That's all that matters.
There it goes.
So overall, MKE Grocery Buddy, we're traditionally not a 501c or nothing of that. We're simply a grassroots organization that pairs neighbors in need with community members who want to support them. So on our website, you can find there's two main hubs. There's our request hub where anyone in need of additional support can go in and fill out a little information, the amount they could use every month or week, any limitations around their access to food. So whether it's they're homebound and disabled, or they're elderly, or they simply are, they're kosher or halal, and there are things that are just not covered under a basic SNAP benefit of any kind. And so they can go in there, put in a request, and at the same time, over in our volunteer portal, people can sign up to be paired with a buddy. So they fill out similar things, would you like to, make a direct financial contribution to the individual to support their grocery needs, or if their needs are higher, would you like to coordinate, the purchase and delivery of groceries directly to this individual? So whether you are just looking for more of a way to help your community through direct finances, we have that opportunity, or maybe you found yourself, you have more time, you want to do more this holiday season, you can actual purchase and deliver groceries to someone in your community.
And that's basically the gist of it all, is like people who need groceries get groceries. And that's what we're doing for our community members, because as you said, this was born out of the freeze on SNAP benefits. And when it comes to situations like this, this is where the community steps up and says, we need to help these folks. And from the initial announcement from Meg to where you are now, where has it taken since you've done it? Because it's been how many months now?
Oh my gosh. It's like everything has been a bit of a whirlwind, but literally from, I think it was November. I believe it was November 1st that we were starting with the SNAP lapse. I will double check, but it's really just been a whirlwind. Like it's primarily right now, it's Meg, myself, our friend Jenny, and Michelle, and we all work in different industries and different walks of life, things like that. And all of us had just expressed interest and passion for this type of work, and it's been insane. Like the spreadsheets, the algorithms, the simply the sheer amount of outreach that has happened in this time. In one of our recent meetings, Meg started and she said, I think we just need to take a moment to realize that at the time it was, I think about 2 weeks after the SNAP lapse occurred. Meg said, we have tried to replicate a longstanding government program within our community in a matter of 2 weeks while having full-time jobs, while, balancing everything else that's going on in our lives. And it's not more of like a pat on our back to us, but it's more of the view of that, when our community needs us, we have to step up. And so just mobilizing around all of that has been really amazing to see the depth, the formality, the organization, and just the beautiful stories that have come out of this as well.
If you're just joining us right now, Matt and Air on Air, we are talking to Katie Goodwin, who is the marketing liaison of MKE Grocery Buddy, I want to say it exactly because I love the way a volunteer-powered, donor-powered organization that seeks to bring groceries to those who are in need, especially because of the lapse in SNAP benefits. And the question I have too is, with the lapse, with the freeze on those benefits, what kind of conversations are opening up now because of that, as well as what you are doing to make people understand the importance of SNAP? Because there's a lot of myth and almost shame on those who take SNAP. And what we're seeing is that SNAP isn't not just for this group that we have vilified. It's for a lot of people who have full-time jobs, who are farmers. What conversations have you seen open up because of the work you're doing with MKE Grocery Buddy?
I mean, Greg, too, I'm happy to even speak about my own experiences with this. It was eye-opening. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the Milwaukee area. I lived, admittedly, an incredibly privileged life. Mm-hmm. Food insecurity was not something that I had to consider in my own life. It was simply, volunteering at food drives, things like that. And when I was in college, my dad became super ill and disabled. And, I had lived this life where everything was great and privileged. And then suddenly, the only job he could maintain was at a grocery store. So very quickly, I realized that every single one of us is so much closer to being in this situation where we need help from our community than we are ever to being a billionaire. And
yes,
in my own, it's true though, but
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's one of those things where, even me living such a privileged life that I did, my family was in a very tricky situation. And the only way we got by was because of the love, support, and, sustaining of others. And when I heard about this type of project that was coming together with Meg at the helm, I knew from my own personal experiences that I had, one, a lot of learning to do, mm-hmm. two, could resonate. So when you're talking about SNAP, we always like to say community food systems, there's a little gaps in between them. So like food banks are incredible resources in communities, church meals, SNAP itself. However, there are still a lot of gaps within this system that we are working as MKE Grocery Buddy to fill. So I personally didn't know, because as I said, I lived a very privileged life of, you know, there are a lot of limitations on SNAP. You can't buy hot food. Mm-hmm. You can't buy cleaning supplies. As a woman, you can't buy tampons. Like things that you Jeez. Think in your life as essential,
yeah.
when you go to the grocery store, aren't included. And so our view here is to really step in those corners and say, okay, where can we provide direct funds to supplement all of this, whether it's religious beliefs or, you know, maybe they deserve, I personally believe they deserve hot food every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like those type of beliefs really drive us forward, because one organization is not going to solve hunger in Wisconsin. It's going to be the work of all of us doing little things all over to kind of build that safety net that every human being deserves when it comes around access for food.
Well, and I think the other thing that is very important to discuss is that this can't be a placeholder for the work that I believe needs to happen from the government, from local, state, and federal government. This is a bigger issue than party lines. This is a bigger issue than who you voted for. This is all about who needs help and what are our leaders willing to do to step up? Because while what you are doing is fantastic, I personally don't want to see leaders say something effective. Well, we got MKE Grocery Buddies. They're great. So they can do all the work and we don't have to do anything. And that's not how we get things done in a civilized society. We have to work together and create systems where there is buy-in from community leaders such as yourself, our local lawmakers, our state and federal lawmakers. So, I mean, what you do is doing is great, but I put the word out to people who are, I mean, whether you are on SNAP or not on SNAP, it's about calling these our leaders and saying, we need to make sure that, you know, in a perfect world, MKE Grocery Buddy doesn't exist because people don't have to have a lack of access to food. But unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But that's where we step up and not only help our community members, but we also say to our leaders, you need to do something about this, because Katie Goodwin has a full-time job and she loves to help, but also you need to do your work. So, I mean, that's where I push it to say, talk to your local leaders. And we're going to keep the conversation going with Katie about this, because it's a very important, very wonderful group. I want to talk more about the folks who get the food, the folks who actually who are receiving the food from their grocery buddies when we come back. But if you want to talk to us about your dealings with SNAP, or were you affected by this? Have you taken part in a organization such as this? Please call us, text us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us. You can get us in touch with us on the live stream. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking to Katie Goodwin, who is from MKE Grocery Buddies, a grocery buddy. And I'm Greg Bach, your host. I'm Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Nair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and you are here with us in our second hour. We're so happy to have you here listening and joining. Be part of the conversation by calling 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream. You can do that by going to Facebook, YouTube, or the place we in our house still call Twitter. We are talking to Katie Goodwin, who is the marketing liaison of MKE Grocery Buddy, and we're discussing the wonderful work they're doing, which was born out of the SNAP lapse in payments, and basically talking about communities stepping up to help each other in a time of need, especially when it comes to food insecurity, because that is something we face more and more. And it is a problem. It is not an urban problem. It is not a suburban problem. It's an all of a problem. It faces a lot of individuals. And Katie, one of the things I wanted to ask is there any sort of sense you get from people who take part who might not, I don't want to say embarrassed, but they're afraid to ask for help essentially, but they do because they need to.
Absolutely, Greg. I can speak directly on that. in my own experiences. So one thing that we always make sure all four of us are assigned a grocery buddy, so that not only are we doing the logistical side, but that we are being a part of the impact that this is making in our communities. And so I was paired with an individual whose obviously name I won't share because of some of the stigma around it.
And
I said that I could contribute to this individual $40 a week towards grocery needs. And that individual responded to me and said, no, I don't need that. I just need $40 for the month. And I was like, are you sure? I'm happy to support you, whatever. They were like, nope, this is what I need. And I even get emotional thinking about it now. The next day they sent me a receipt of their order from their grocery list, like itemized. Almost it felt like a way to like prove that like, hey, this is what I'm doing with it. I'm being a good steward of your money. And while that's nice, I emailed them back and I said, you don't owe me anything. You are a member of my community. You are a person who is doing their best, who is working hard, who has a family, and who has fallen in, you know, unfortunate circumstances in a hard time. And while I appreciate that you're trying to, you know, show me this, like, I don't think less of you or, you know, perceive you as any negative way beyond just a person trying to do what's best for their family. And talking to more and more of our buddies, that's really the situation many of them are in. They're, you know, homebound, they're elderly, they're disabled. Or, I mean, I'm sure, Greg, you've heard much about the job market right now. It's tough.
Yeah.
And so it's people who are applying for jobs. They're trying their best. You know, they were laid off and they're hustling and it's still not enough.
Yeah.
So it's really been eye-opening to see, like I mentioned, you know, before our commercial break, that any of us are closer to this than we could ever realize in our own lives.
Yeah, that's something that I take. I do not take for granted every day of my life, knowing that I, you know, we are, and not to sound like a bummer, but you are a slip and fall from financial disaster. You are a government shutdown from losing access to your food. You could, I mean, it can affect you. And that's where I make the appeal to those who are listening who may be in a similar situation. It's okay to ask for help. There's nothing wrong for it. There's nothing wrong with it. People are here to listen and here to give you what you need. And that is where the first step, and it's not about shame. It's about community. It's about embracing, and because you'll probably help someone down the road as well. And that's the important thing to remember with these types of organizations, that it's just us helping each other because that's who we have. And what is the future of the organization? You said there's four of you. Is there expansion? What is MKE Grocery Buddy looking at in 2026?
Yes. Well, as a quick recap of 2025, we've matched over 72 individuals, which again, as is pretty significant. Our request forms are always growing because, as I mentioned, SNAP doesn't cover everything. You know, there's logistical issues getting to meal programs and things like that. Like, people still really need our help. But our biggest push, you know, through the holiday season into next year is actually an appeal for people to sign up to be grocery buddies, because despite the fact that we have met over, I think, and growing, like $10,000 to $12,000 of requests, we still have a $40,000 backlog of people who need our help. And like you said earlier, you know, I'm practicing not being too political around the holidays, but since you brought it up, my mom can't get mad at me.
Mrs. Goodwin.
No, normally it's Kathleen, why are you trying to make your relatives mad? And I was like, well,
it's
anyway.
Shoulder shrug.
Until these government systems and these leaders step up to help, it is the responsibility of our communities. And so our big push in this next year is to try to meet as many requests as possible. And so therefore we need more people in our communities to step up. And our belief is, too, if we can find somebody who needs support and someone in that same community who can give it, we are willing to match them. So that also is a growth in the geography itself, even outside of the, you know, urban Milwaukee area.
And I want to clarify something, too, that you said. And this isn't just about getting people the money they need to buy the groceries that they would have had in SNAP. It's the stuff that is not covered. You know, there are, as you said, hot meals are not covered. Feminine hygiene products are not covered. There's a whole host of things that people need to have. And if they can't afford it, it's just about, as you said, giving them a little extra a week so they can get those groceries taken care of, so they can get that what they need in their lives. And that's a very, very, very important thing. And if you want to find out more about how to get involved with MKE Grocery Buddy, you can go to MKEGroceryBuddy.com and you can either find a grocery buddy or become a grocery buddy. And I want to thank you, Katie, for being on the show today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you for sharing our story and, you know, getting the word out. We really, really appreciate it. And have a happy holidays.
You as well. And don't make too many of your relatives angry. Just, you know, raise a glass of wine and be like, hey, guys, I love you.
Can't make any promises. I'll try then.
Katie Goodwin is the marketing liaison of MKE Grocery Buddy and has been our guest this morning. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful holiday season. Take care. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about local dollars in local communities, and we're going to be talking about the arts. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am here. I am your host, and we are excited to have you with us. If you want to get in touch, call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the place we in this house still call Twitter. We're very excited to have you here today. We hope you are joining us and, you know, enjoying your Monday. It's a big Monday for us here at the show, Calvin. It's the first one with just the two of us. We can make it if we try. How are you doing this morning, Calvin?
I'm doing well. You know, if I would have known you were going to make that joke, I could have had it. Like,
I know. But that's what we call improv, baby. It just comes off the top of my dome. I'm going to keep you on your toes. I'm going to make you have like 38,000 songs at the ready so you just know every single thing I say. But we don't want to listen anymore else. I don't want to talk about improv with you. That's not something. We're not talking about comedy right now. We're talking about, again, just the local economy, local creating. And we're going to talk right now with Jacqueline Toksdorf, who is the founder of the Plover Babes nonprofit Collect and Gather. They are a part free community makerspace and part secondhand art supply wonderland. As their website states, it's where serious artists go and new makers trying things out. Jacqueline, thank you so much for being on the show this morning. I kind of butchered that wonderful tag. It's where serious artists go and new makers trying new things out. I think I said
that. Yeah, anyway. Exactly.
Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here today, Jacqueline. Tell us about Collect and Gather. Now, Plover, really quick. Plover is just outside of Stevens Point. You're a little bit far away from us down here in Racine, but this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Tell us about Collect and Gather.
Yeah, well, the whole main mission is makerspaces. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a makerspace on every block in every town, no matter how big or small.
Okay.
But makerspaces are just areas where you can try things out. There's a range of them throughout Wisconsin. We have ones that work on woodworking more in Madison. We have ones that have ones where there's 3D printers. Ours focuses more on an art studio vibe. Our goal, we have everything ready to go. We're fundraising right now to build a professional art studio so it looks professional, but yet it's still completely free for everyone to use. We'll stock it up with craft supplies and art supplies in every medium. And this is just a way for a couple different artists to come together. One, we've got creatives that just want to try stuff out and they don't want to spend hundreds of dollars on a new hobby. So they come, try stuff out, see if they like it. Others we're finding after COVID, not just people who like don't want to get out of the house, but it's getting harder and harder to gather together and be around people and find your people and find other artists and creatives. So even if you are a professional, talented artist, you might want to come to the makerspace to meet with new minds that are like yours or just get out of the house. And also because the cost of rent is rising so much, artists don't really have a lot of money to spend on renting an art studio or a business. So this is an incubator place for them to start. They can hold pop-ups. They can have their own little gallery showings. They can do their work and invite people for portrait sittings and stuff like that. And it's completely free to use. We aim to have free workshops coming up by summer where we're teaching both traditional folk art. There's so many things that are in the arts and the crafts space that we're losing, like weaving and spinning. Mm-hmm. We also want to have traditional Hmong art back in teaching. So generations across different Hmong generations can come together and learn about different art techniques that originated from Laos or Vietnam or Thailand, and we'll bring artisans in to teach that. And so because it wasn't the greatest year to start an art nonprofit.
As opposed to all the other booming years where nonprofits are like, we can't get enough of them.
Yeah. So because the art space is a little hard right now, just because grant funding is quite dwindling, I needed something that would support us just in case, you know, tough years like this maintain itself in its ugly head for more years to come, or if, you know, down the line 15 years from now, we have something similar, like what's happening right now, happen again. So the thrift store model is where that came in. In our area, we're losing thrift stores left and right. We lost Joann's. We've got Michael's and Hobby Lobby. Mm-hmm. But we really don't have thrift stores that stock a lot of art supplies. And pretty much every creative has tried a hobby that they give up on at some point. So they've got some supplies left over. And that's what stocks two-thirds of our store. So two-thirds of our store is a thrift store. Mm-hmm. We've got vintage fabric. We've got paint supplies. We've got, you know, decapitated baby doll heads.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah.
Speak in my language, Jacqueline.
We've got a whole section of metal, disassembled lamp parts and just random pieces of metal for metal sculptures to use. And it's all low cost. There's never going to be anything over $20 in the thrift shop. Okay. And then the other third of the place is a junk art boutique. So from opening to now, we had rustic metal junk art going. And then in January from here on out, we change our theme into the strange. So we have a whole bunch of kind of fringe artists who they go to craft shows and a whole bunch of people pass by their booth and go, oh, God, that kind of stuff. Because we've got enough cute gift shops out there in the world. We need something a little strange. So. Yeah. In January, there's going to be an 8-foot Beetlejuice-like snake in the shop. There's going to be some weird stuff that people, you know, aren't going to find at, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Well, and that's an interesting thing you just brought up here. I mean, that is when people say the word, when you hear the term thrift shop, a lot of people think secondhand clothing. They think going to shop for, you know, that NBA championship t-shirt from 1991 that's somehow $700 now. They think thrift shop, they think of vintage clothes. And I think that's an important distinction to make, that thrifting doesn't mean that specifically. It actually, what you're talking about is like supplies, craft supplies, art supplies too, at a very low cost for those to get into a thing that they want to try out. Because, you know, I've always wanted to get into woodworking. It's something that's always fascinated me in one specific, like, part of woodworking, but it's just very expensive. I don't have enough money to just buy all that stuff. And makerspaces are really great resources where you can walk in, get to know the equipment, get to know the people, find your people, if you will, and just start there. And one of the things I'd love to hear from people listening right now is that pandemic, that lockdown really brought out the creatives in people to really find their new senses of expression. Was there anything out there? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave it on the live stream if you'd like. Text it in. What is something you've tried? What is something you are doing because of the lockdown, or just because you said, I want to try vintage weaving. I want to give it a shot. I mean, that's the important thing too, is we're finding our place to find our people and to voice our artistic self. And I think that really helps in just a better living. Would you agree, Jacqueline?
Yeah. It's something that I didn't really think of, because I have a background in graphic design. So I've always kind of worked at home. And then when the pandemic hit, I'm like, you guys are stealing what I do. But
amateurs, I've been doing this all the time.
Oh, you're in your pajamas? Fine. I'll wear normal clothes then. But but it's an interesting thing that happened when, you know, starting working in the makerspace field. So something that's kind of carried over to other makerspaces is Johns Hopkins University contacted us because they're seeing an epidemic of agoraphobia.
Oh, boy.
Where it wasn't before. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing research, and they have a lot of like research, you know, members who are trying to figure out what can break people out of their shells. And mostly people who are very creative are very susceptible to agoraphobia, and especially during the pandemic when you were shut in. And if you didn't have people that weren't coming over to your house to hang out with you for long periods of time, you became very alone. Mm-hmm. And so Johns Hopkins University has partnered with us and will do case studies and research throughout 2026 and 2027, because we're finding that a makerspace is the perfect space to get out of the house. Maybe your first time, you don't want to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. You put in headphones and you can block everyone out, but you've got access to a whole bunch of craft supplies and art supplies. You just get in the zone. You don't have to look at anyone. You don't have to talk to anyone. But maybe the next time you go, you say, oh, you're working on embroidery. Could you teach me how to embroider? Or you're really nailing this painting technique. Could you help me with my painting technique? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you've made a connection with someone that you wouldn't have made just being stuck in the house. And you see people come more and more to the makerspace and open up and be less afraid. And the university is finding that agoraphobia is basically being cured through making things, but you can't do it without the help of someone else in something like a makerspace. So I was really happy when they reached out. Usually you have to beg to like prove to the world that like makerspaces and creating art actually affects the brain in very positive ways. Even if you're not creative, even if everyone who says like they can't make a stick figure, I'm like, get up there, go make a stick figure.
make whatever stick figure you want. I mean, honestly, I think, Jacqueline, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Jacqueline Toksdorf, who is the founder of the nonprofit Collect and Gather. It is a part free community makerspace, part secondhand art supply wonderland. And they are located in Plover, just outside of Stevens Point. And I think that for me, I will say this personally, that's one of the big problems, is that that first step into the world of saying, hey, I want to learn this thing, because you can come across people like, don't bother me, kid. I've been doing this for 50 years. I don't want to start teaching now. But you find a makerspace and the whole design of it is to connect and to quell those fears of trying to, of doing a bad job or screwing up. Yeah, you're going to screw up. And especially in these kinds of situations, you will screw up a lot before you get good, and you have to.
I encourage it.
Exactly. And you got to find those people out there who say, yes, screw up, make a bad stick figure. The next one will be better than the last one. And you keep going. And I think that in apart from the agoraphobia discussion, just getting people to ask for help and ask to indulge their creativity. I mean, how many people do you think in the world are sitting here going, I should have learned to paint? I was better at drawing. I could have done drawing too. I mean, like, not trying to make $1 billion, but something where you can walk into a room and just sit down and let go of the world through your avenue of expression.
Yeah. I think it's pretty much, makerspaces are pretty much the only place in the world where you can go into one, you find someone doing something that you want to learn how to do, and you go, can I creepily watch you? I think that's the only place that we can do that in.
That wood burning sculpture looks amazing. Jacqueline, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you coming by. We're going to get your information in our show notes, so people can get, if you live around that area, and also just as a springboard, look for maker spaces in your community. They are around a lot more than you think. They're very, very cool. Become a part of that. Learn your art. Find your heart. Find your voice, and do it through creativity. And it's just wonderful to have a conversation with you, Jacqueline. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, thank you so much, Greg.
Jacqueline Toksdorf is the founder of the Collect and Gather, which is a makerspace and art supply wonderland. We'll get that on the show notes. Check it out. Check out the makerspace in your community. Have a wonderful day, Jacqueline. Have a wonderful holiday again. And when we come back, we're going to do a little roundup of the show. How did we do day one? We want to hear from you. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. I am your buddy. I'm your pal. And we're happy to have you here on the show today on the Civic Media Radio Network. And Calvin, first show is almost done. In the can. Finito. How do you feel today?
It went by so fast. It was just jam-packed.
I know. It was great. It was great. We had great conversations with everybody. We really appreciate everyone stopping by today. It was, I mean, really, this first show, wanted to make sure we did something really fun. And I want to thank Tucker, our senior producer, for putting together a great lineup of guests. And if you want to find out more about them, we're going to have the show notes ready for you in a little while. You can go ahead and click on those links and you can find out more, whether you want to talk about data centers, whether you want to talk about helping someone who needs some food through MKE Grocery Buddy. You want to find your voice artistically, find yourself a makerspace, if you know someone who's creative that way, you know, make a call, say, hey, can I come over and just talk to you about what you do? I kind of want to get into it. I think that's the thing is, honestly, if I'm looking at all of the guests we talked to today, it's about doing something. Whether you're standing up for your community, whether you're helping out your community, whether you are forging your art or making sure that you have a toy store that is in the community and that is selling educational toys that entertain and bring families together. It's about standing up and doing something about, you know, what's needed out there. And we love hearing from people who are doing that. That's a very, very important thing to discuss. I asked before, what was a way you were expressing yourself? Maybe it was the lockdown. Maybe it's the pandemic. Maybe it was something else that was going on. And PJ on the live stream said 3D printers are inexpensive and a fun hobby to get into. You have a Creality Ender 3V2. That sounds like a very cool machine. It's under $200 and it's fun. The filament per roll is also cheap as well. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, no one's expecting you to go out and buy like a $30,000 piece of equipment. Start small. Start, you know, go to the makerspace or just get yourself into something that's the first avenue to voicing your creativity. But also, I think that's great to hear people getting involved in such a manner. People have been asking me, Calvin, like, what's the show going to be like going forward? And we're going to be trying some new stuff. We'll be having more guests on. We'll be having some of the same guests. Some of our regular weekly folks will be coming back. And we will be doing some Tizbats. We will be doing audio sorbet. And we just want to try some new things. If you have suggestions, let us know. You can always get in touch with us. I believe you can still go to janesays@civicmedia.us. You can always get in touch with us there. But we do want to hear from you, whether it's on the live stream, whether through the texting. It's important to talk to you. It's important to hear what you have to say. And we are grateful for you being a part of this. Calvin, any thoughts? Do you want to be the host? Maybe you want to be the host. I'll be the tech producer. I'll go to the board and you can be the guy in charge. I never even asked you. I'm sorry, buddy.
You know, I think we have a good thing going on so far. So let's play it by ear, but I think we'll keep it how it is for now. Okay.
All right. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this really quick. I don't want to end the show on a tragic note, but the passing of Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle this weekend, tragically we lost them. Rob Reiner was a magnificent film director, made some of the most iconic films of the 80s and 90s. He made Spinal Tap, he made When Harry Met Sally, he made Stand By Me, and that's just a few of the films that he made. And he was a great voice for equality, for change, for democracy. And it is a huge loss that he is gone. He and his wife, unfortunately, were taken from us this weekend. And I'm just sending all thoughts and good wishes to his family right now in their time of sorrow. And if you have a favorite Rob Reiner movie, send it our way. Let us know what you think about it. Do you like that When Harry Met Sally stuff? It's a good movie. I like that movie. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of great stuff coming up on the show this week. Like I said, we're going to have some other guests that you may have not heard on the show before. We're going to be talking we're going to be talking to State Senator Jody Habesynikin about data centers as well and how they affect the Wisconsin economy. Because from the point of view of the community, I can see where people might say we need to stop data centers. But as you know, I'm going to put into the show notes a data center map. There are thousands of them. They are in America and they're not going anywhere. And if they're going to be here, they should be something which benefits the community, not just billionaire corporations, because they are using our land. They are using our resources. And again, if you are a person who is affected by this, you want to listen to this conversation with State Senator Jody Habesynikin, because we want to find a good path to making sure business is beneficial to us as well. And we're going to be speaking to Evan from Clean Wisconsin. It's going to be a great show. Also, Jim Santel stopping by on Thursday, and we're going to have great stuff for you next week as well. We're going to have some best ofs going on. There'll be some Christmas music happening, but we're really, really excited. I really, really, really appreciate, I'm grateful for all of you for listening today. It really does mean the world to me. So, Calvin, thank you so very much. I'm going to send it out the same way that Jane always did, because I think it's important to recognize those who are behind the scenes who are doing all the great work. So I want to thank Calvin. I want to thank Tucker. I want to thank all of our engineers and everybody in traffic making everything work. Because as she said, without you, nothing does work. I want to thank our guests today. I want to thank the listeners who got on the live stream, who got on the text line, who called and commented. We really appreciate you. Without you, there's not an us. And I really just want to say thank you to Jane Matinere again for all of the wonderful work she gave us, all the great time she put on this show, and allowing us to take this to a new direction, furthering the mission of what we started here so many years ago. We look forward to having you with us for this ride. Thanks again for listening. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. You are listening to Matinere on Air. We are all across the Civic Media Radio Network. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.